Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is a tangent rant for you. Where something. I don't know. I had a thing and I lost it. So, which is kind of what happens in what you're about to hear. Sometimes we go off on tangents. We go down rabbit holes and we end up going way off topic. And well, we thought this conversation was worth keeping because, I mean, we make some valid points. It's an interesting conversation, and well, we thought we'd give you guys a little bit of a bonus. So enjoy. Detour back to like what we were talking about. I think what has happened in probably the last like 5-6 years or so is that, or probably in the last decade, is we're talking about like, you know, like the really great, like we are definitely like living through like a golden age of television.
Yes.
And I think part of that is because it's been within the last, you know, the last decade, maybe the last like 15 years, studios have stopped taking chances on movies.
Yeah.
And so we get, and this is a soapbox that like you and I have talked about this. Like I will rant about this to every chance that I get. Studios aren't interested in taking risks on like new and exciting movie, like
for the most part, different
movies. And so it's like the trend that you see of studios are only willing to like put in a lot of money if they know it's going to be like an A-list like blockbuster kind of movie, like if it's something big budget, like if it's something on an already existing franchise, or an awards bait movie, like if it's, and when we say like awards bait movies, is that even those tend to be, even like the awards bait movies, I think Moonlight is the only like really kind of outlier in the past few years for like winning Best Picture, because like when you look at like what it was up against, like everybody thought like, you know, for a brief moment that La La Land had won.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then like sometime before that we had The Artist, and like, and it's because the Academy loves movies about Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like the Academy loves to like jerk off to stuff that like they, you know, this is our thing. And so like I said, like Moonlight was kind of the outlier. I'm like, at the last few years,
or like, they like things that are really out there, like The Lighthouse.
Yes.
And things like that. Not that that's really out there. I haven't watched it, but I know things about that movie that make me go, probably never going to watch that movie.
But well, like, I mean, I know the story that it's based on. Yeah, Elion Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean by Oscar bait, by things that are like, this is a dramatic performance for the ages.
Yes.
Or Meryl Streep's in it.
Yes. You know, it's like, it's something like that. Well, even like,
The one Olivia Colman won for.
The Favorite. Yes.
Those are awards bait movies.
Yes. And it's way I phrase it. So yeah, it's, but even then, though, you know, those are movies, like they still don't take like risks like you would see with
absolutely
a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, the, you know, there's still things that play things pretty safe, because like when you look at, I'm like, everything is remakes and reboots.
Yep.
I'm like, I don't, get me wrong, I'm sure it's gonna be great. I don't give a fuck that they're rebooting Ghostbusters again.
I've heard, like, it's more of a sequel.
Yes.
And that it's very, very good.
Yes. I just, so many things.
I don't care if they're making another West Side Story. Sorry.
I don't care. I give zero shits.
And I love musicals. I don't care.
I don't care.
I just don't. The new Cinderella travesty on Prime. I just don't care.
I was kind of intrigued by that, especially once I saw the three mice that,
yeah,
it's
true.
Yeah, that it was James A. Caster and Ramesh Ranganathan, and I was
Corden.
Okay, I care less about Corden. Corden like has oversaturated the market. I'm tired of Corden.
It's true.
But once I saw that it was James A. Caster and Ramesh Ranganathan, I'm like, I kind of want to see this just for those assholes.
I texted you the travesty though.
You did.
I watched part of that part.
Why?
Because I saw it on YouTube and I went, What a man in Seven Nation Army.
I can't.
How can you mash those up?
No.
The answer is you can't successfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, but like, things but like yeah, that. Like,
but I, like, and you know, I'm with, tired of that. Yeah. Like, all Disney is doing now, it's like it, Disney is doing movie, like new movies that they don't really promote.
Yeah.
Like, you know, stuff, you know, like I didn't know that like Luca was a thing.
Yep.
Until I saw that Binging with Babish was doing a recipe from the movie. And I was like, wait, Disney has a new thing. Okay.
They're doing a lot, you know, more direct, like, to Disney Plus releases.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like, Raya and the Last Dragon.
I need to watch that. It's yeah, on my list of things I
really
do.
I really knew nothing about it until, like, yeah, suddenly it was out. But other than that, they're doing remakes of shit that they've already done.
Yeah.
And it's stuff that's not happening. Like, it's not going well. and so it's like, so with television, and especially, you know, this started with HBO back in the early 2000s, because like with like HBO was the place, because I remember like
The Wire, things like The Sopranos.
I think The Wire was Showtime, but yeah,
but again, yeah, like, things the, but like yeah, that. It's
you had, because I remember when 6 Feet Under became a thing, because like my mom and I sat down and watched the pilot of 6 Feet Under together.
Really loving Peter Krause in 9-1-1, by the way.
Oh, he's fucking amazing.
Like
he. On 6 Feet Under, he is a terrible human being. I think 6 Feet Under is like one of the greatest works of art of the 20th century. I think it's incredible. Not a show I should have been watching as a teenager, but my mom was just like, whatever. But you know, like that and Deadwood and The Sopranos and, you know, like all of those shows, it was just, you know, and then eventually we got the juggernaut that was Game of Thrones until... Mm-hmm. It died an ignoble death.
And now you're getting all the Game of Thrones, like...
Yeah.
Wrong word. I apologize to people who are fans of The Wheel of Time. That was not the right word.
No.
Wheel of Time was out way before
Game of Thrones. But that's the thing.
They're
is
looking
that,
for the next one of those now.
Yes. Yeah. Is that, like, yeah, like, you know, Wheel of Time existed... decades, you know, like it yes. existed forever ago.
Lord of the Rings,
yes, it's like things like that. And again, you know, like, you know, studios were willing to take a chance. Like, they wouldn't take a chance on The Hobbit, they took a chance on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And so Lord of the Rings was a success, and then we got the travesty that is The Hobbit.
I saw an announcement that they're gonna do a 31 disc set of all 6 of those movies.
Shut up and take my money.
But see, I don't want the first 3. You can keep The Hobbit. You can keep
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
But it's The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, the 31 yeah. disc set. And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
No.
I'll keep my extendeds and just be happy. Yeah.
But but like I said, that's the thing. It's like, they're all, like, studios are only making things that are, you know, like, based on an already, like, successful franchise.
With a built-in fandom.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, that's why, like, we have, like a million, like, fucking Transformers movies. And, like,
yeah,
you know, like, everything that fucking Zack Snyder has done. And just... Yeah. And just, so, like, there... We just keep... I'm like, how many fucking times... Like, I'm excited for the Batman, but at the same time, I'm like, I almost don't care anymore.
There's so much wrong with that movie, man.
I like, know, oh, but man. At the same time, I'm like, because it's Robert Pattinson, and knowing the kind of human being that he is, I'm like, I want to see what happens with this movie.
There's so much drama between him and the director.
Oh, I know.
So much.
Oh, I know. But again...
Jeffrey Wright playing Gordon is, uh-huh. what, is what I would be there for, personally. Yeah.
But again, it's just like, so like television is, yeah. you know, it's television is the new canvas. It's like, if you're looking to do something, it's like you take it to.
Or Netflix.
And the, you know.
Netflix
and
Prime are willing to yes. give a lot of, not questionable material, that sounds bad, but more risky material a chance.
Yes. And more like untested material.
Yeah.
And so that's. You know, we are able to get a lot of fucking incredible shows through things, but like. It almost feels like I'm like with this is a whole other rant, and you can absolutely cut this out. But like, it feels like Netflix, we're only going to give something a chance. Like, it either has to be like a limited series, something like a Haunting of Hill House, where it's like, okay, this it's 10 episodes and that's it. We're mm-hmm. out. Or, you know, they hire like, you know, or if it's something like, again, like The Witcher, where again, like, okay, we're like, we have this many episodes, like we are telling this exact story, and like we will build from that, but it's not
provided that it does well.
Provided that it does well. I'm like, but you know, something like, you know,
a lot of that has to do with like the it's cheaper. I was listening to somebody talk about this. Mm-hmm. The reason they'll only make like 3 or 4 seasons of a show mm-hmm. is because it's cheaper to just start a new show than to pay the actors and stuff yeah. like that more money.
Yeah.
That's the main reason that stuff like that happens.
Yeah,
Netflix,
but...
Netflix, I mean, they spend a lot of money on a lot of crap.
Yes.
So
it like
they have to.
Netflix has definitely turned into like a quantity over quality situation.
Yes.
And don't
that
we're
one
on...
movie every week for this whole year, I think is what it is. It's ridiculous.
It's insane.
Because, well, it's just ridiculous because it turns into Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Like, Hallmark Channel does, like, what is it, like 40 movies for Christmas? No. Nobody needs that.
No. But
make,
I...
Make, like, 4 good movies. And
yeah.
I'd be so much happier.
I would be happier to see him, like, make, like, 4 or 5, like, actual, like, decent movies.
Even, like, a Borrowed Hearts level. Like...
Yes!
Or better yet, just remake Borrowed Hearts 4 different times and I'll watch that, okay? Like... But yeah, I see what you
but
mean.
Yeah,
the, yeah.
It's just, but like I said, you know, having something like, you know, I like Hulu, like definitely like doing like Hulu doing Little Fires Everywhere. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it's so fucking
well,
good.
Well, now they've done like 9 Perfect Strangers, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Based on a novel, but
yeah, which
not
kinda,
a super well-known, I mean, well, it's, okay. it's a super well-known novel, but not a super big like... Oh my God, they should make this into a movie, like miniseries.
Yes, yes, because like Leanne Moriarty has like a yeah. dozen books at least.
Yeah.
Big Little Lies is just like the one that kind of like took off.
Yeah.
And so the fact that Hulu got 9 Perfect Strangers, I was surprised. but
like it's, you're not, it's going to be difficult to get like a home again.
Yeah.
On any of those platforms.
Yeah.
Although, for the record, this could be... one of the reviews was really mean about it, mm-hmm. and it said, I feel like I'm watching the pilot to a sitcom. Give me that
I
sitcom.
Would absolutely take
I
it.
I'm there.
Yes.
I'm there every day of the week. I
yes.
love that. But and it does have a good setup. But at the same time, I think it's a full and closed story, and it's great.
Yes. I think, yeah.
But, like, one of the few places you would get, like, something like this, I think, now would mm-hmm. be, like, Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe HBO Max, but I feel like it's too safe for HBO Max.
Yeah, it's way too safe for HBO Max.
Like, but maybe if they, like, with Reese Witherspoon attached, like, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Michael Sheen's attached, so Amazon Prime, get in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, that's the only way I think you could get, like, something like that. Even today, I think it's more difficult... Especially in the last 2 years, like mm-hmm. with the pandemic, a lot of people have realized that, oh, streaming might actually be a better, like, way of getting our stories told.
Yes. And, you know,
it's
and the,
so funny.
But the fact that you have, like, you know, the fact that you have, you know, like, the old timers trying to, like...
Finally making, like, shows.
Well, yeah, but not only that, but you know, but what I was gonna say is like the fact that you have, you know, like the old timers who are like, oh no, like Netflix shows like shouldn't count for like awards and shit. Like I'm like why,
dude. I'm also still on the bandwagon. I will forever stay on the bandwagon. This is way off topic, but I don't care that network shows don't get enough enough love. Like I told you, I'm watching 9-1-1. Almost everybody in that cast needs an Emmy. Like,
yeah.
They like, have broken me multiple times in one season.
Well,
so,
yeah,
like,
it's
a network show, so it's never going to be
network shows. And you know the drum that you and I have been banging for years is that
genre shows, yeah, absolutely,
don't get anything. And
yeah.
and so it's like
it's not, that is one thing that's nice about the Game of Thrones explosion
mm-hmm.
is that more genre stuff is getting respected, at least
yeah.
fantasy. Sci-fi is still
sci-fi
fighting.
Yes. Sci-fi still has a way to go.
It's got so, like Battlestar Galactica helped sci-fi a lot, but not enough.
Well, yeah, it feels like part of the problem is like, and it has to do a little bit of with fantasy. And again, like, good God, we've gone off on so many tangents.
Yeah, we so have.
This is literally, like, the not gonna lie, guys. This is the type of conversations Michelle and I
this
have.
This is us just talking
this
right
is
now.
Us just
we'll
talking.
We'll get back to the movie in just a second, I
yeah.
promise. Because we are excited about this movie.
Yes.
But.
With fantasy, yes. Like, fantasy stories existed before Tolkien. Tolkien found a way to take mm-hmm. all of the influences into one and made like an amalgamation and did his own thing because the man was a freak.
He just needed an excuse to create his own language. We all know it. His multiple languages. We all know it.
Like I said, the man was a freak and therefore an outlier. But, you know, like you, but you have like what he created, and ever since then, everything in, you know, a lot of fantasy in some way, it borrows heavily from Tolkien.
It either does similar or it parodies it kind of.
Yes. It bucks and against like it. One of the best analogies that I had heard was, one of the best analogies that I had heard was somebody talking about, you know, like the influence of Tolkien on like the fantasy genre, in that it's like, you know, when you see like ancient kind of paintings from Japan, it's that it's either like something, you know, some, you know, pastoral scene or like a small village or whatever, but no matter what, it's like Mount Fuji is always in the background.
Yes.
And then the few times that like it isn't that, it's because the point of view is from Mount Fuji. And so it's like you can't escape, you know, escape.
Tolkien is and Mount Fuji of fantasy. Yeah,
Tolkien
for
is
sure.
the Mount Fuji. Yeah. And is the Mount Fuji of like fantasy. And so you can't escape it. It's like even when like you're trying to be the antithesis of that, you're still direct, like you still have a source to be the opposite of.
Yep.
And with sci-fi,
the closest thing is Star Trek, and people have bucked against that so hard that
And so like, but to, like the biggest like sci-fi things like you can really the like because to me like sci-fi it's a harder thing to capture.
Yes.
Because one, because it's, you know, it's science fiction. It's therefore based on technologies. And so because technology is always changing, it's hard to capture a thing. And so, you know, like the novel, like 1984, I'm like, what it was, you know, I can't remember when it was actually written. I'm like, but what it supposed 1984 to be was nowhere near what we had in 1984. It's much closer to what we have now.
Yeah.
But it's just those kind of things. Like I think it's harder to grab like the zeitgeist of sci-fi because it is something that has to be like futuristic. And then like once you reach the point where you like suddenly it's like you have the limitations of like, and then you have to, like, you've told this story, and then, like, you have to go, like, now you've reached where that story was told, and now you have, like, I'm, you know, I don't know why, like, I'm suddenly thinking about, like, the difference between, like, the original, like, Blade Runner, and then Blade Runner, like, whatever it was called.
2400,
whatever. Because, like, to me, like, and again, like, this was, like, you and I, like, watched, like, a video essay on this of how, like, the Marvel movies are always, you know, yes, they're a superhero movie, but they're also like different types of genre movies.
Absolutely.
Of like,
yeah,
Winter Soldier, it's a political thriller, and you know, various other things.
Captain America is a World War II
story. Yeah, it's a war movie.
Yeah,
and with I think with science fiction, of you're always, even though it is something said within the future, you're still telling a very specific story, like AI, artificial intelligence, with like Haley Joel Osment. It's Pinocchio.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And
you've got your post-apocalyptic, you've got your utopian, it's the same thing of the different genres.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, like I said, it's harder to capture the zeitgeist, but like what I was saying, like I've not seen Blade Runner, like 2049 or whatever it's called, but the original, it was a film noir movie, but like it was a sci-fi film noir movie. And so, you know, it was just a different skin on a familiar story. And, you know, like, and fantasy does the same thing. And it's just one of those of like, genre stories are meant to be a heightened depiction of the world which already exists.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's, you know, that's why, like, you can tell, like, such amazing stories, like, with something like Star Trek and over...
frequently awards things tend to poo-poo that,
which yes.
is where, yeah, kind of where we...
And, yeah, it's because it... For, like, an industry, you know, that's so, like, it's so predominantly, you know, it's all about, like, telling stories.
Yeah.
It's, like, the fact that the movie industry and, like, the system that rewards the telling of these stories, the fact that it so heavily overlooks the genre, like, yeah. that it so heavily overlooks, like, genre stories, which are a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that are, like, a metaphor for what we are already experiencing. It's, like, the fact that they are so heavily overlooked and, like, no, we're just going to, like, forget all subtext. Like, we're just going to present you with text and make it pretty.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And, again, like, this is a whole other...
It's our tangent.
So it's our tangent.
We will come back to the movie because we yes. should. Because we're a half hour into this podcast.
I know. People didn't but, come okay, to hear us rant. Again... I say, this is what happens when you and I don't have, like, a couple of weeks. Just yeah. sit and bullshit.
It's fair. It's fair.
All right. That will get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. As always, we thank you so very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.